Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. So glad you're joining us here on this Thursday as we're in this amazing series with Derek Prince called Relationship with God. Now today, he's going to talk about the harder side of this thing, which is relationship with God's people. We've been learning that relationship with God comes through a covenant, but that covenant is also, in a sense, with God's people. You know, interestingly enough, all throughout church history, Christians understood that our relationship with others is through a covenant. Marriage is a covenant. Church membership is a covenant. People used to say, I'm a member of the covenant at First Church. Even our federal form of government, our constitutional form of government, is covenantal. The word federal comes from the Latin word fedora, which means covenant in Latin. And even friendships can be covenant-oriented or covenanted. I think that's a critical thing for us to know and something that we're going to learn about today as Derek teaches us on relationship with God's people. Let's listen.
In previous talks, we've seen that covenant requires sacrifice. There never was a valid covenant without a sacrifice. And the sacrifice represents the death of the one who makes the covenant. A person enters into covenant through his own death. This is not merely established in the Old Testament, but carried on into the New. In Hebrews chapter 9, verses 16 and 17, the writer says this, "For where a covenant is, there must of necessity be the death of the one who made it. For a covenant is valid only when men are dead, for it is never in force while the one who made it lives." Let me repeat that phrase. A covenant is valid only when men are dead. So in entering into a covenant, you enter in through your own death. Now, this has got a very practical application. And the practical application is stated for us in the first epistle of John, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. We know love by this, that he, that is Jesus Christ, laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? There's some principles established there. First of all, Jesus has shown us the pattern of love by laying down his life. He said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And then he said, "This I command you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that we love one another with the same kind of covenant love that's expressed in laying down our life for those with whom we are in covenant." And John applies this as an obligation upon all believers. He said, "We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Natural man is motivated by his ego. Everything centers around himself. It's I want, I think, I feel. That's what motivates him. Now, what the scripture teaches is that if we are to be in covenant with God and with one another, that ego has to die. We no longer are motivated by what I want, I think, I feel. Something else takes precedent. What is that? It's what my brother wants, what my brother needs, what my brother thinks, what God says in his word. These become the main decisive factors in my way of life. And so that old I, that old ego that's always asserting itself, has to die. And it dies through the sacrifice of covenant. We lay down our lives one for another. This is the mark that we truly are in covenant. I've been saying that there are mutual obligations when we are in covenant one with another. There might be many different ways of answering the question, what are those mutual obligations? One of the ways you can do it is to look through the New Testament and pick out all the passages where the phrase one another or each other is used about believers. It's a very interesting task, and it's rewarding. I've found 19 different places where the phrase one another or each other is used about believers in their relationship to one another. In other words, these are some of our mutual obligations. I'm just going to read out to you those 19 different passages which speak about one another and emphasize what we're required to do in each passage. The first one is to wash one another's feet. The second, to love one another, to build up one another, to accept one another, to admonish one another, to greet one another, to serve one another, to bear one another's burdens, to show forbearance to one another, to forgive one another, to be subject to one another, to teach one another, to comfort one another, to encourage one another, to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, to confess our sins to one another, to pray for one another, to be hospitable to one another, and to be clothed with humility toward one another. There are 19 specific obligations of the New Covenant. I think all of us need to ask ourselves, how far are we fulfilling those obligations? And in some cases, are we perhaps doing the very opposite of what we ought to be doing? We're admonished to love one another, to build up one another. Does it ever happen that one group of believers, instead of building up another group, actually breaks them down, criticizes them, tears them apart? That's not covenant behavior. We're admonished to serve one another, to bear one another's burdens. If we go out selfishly for our own ends and ambitions and pay no heed to other people's needs or problems, we're not acting like covenant brothers and sisters. In actual fact, we're going contrary to the obligations of the covenant. So how are we going to work out these obligations? If we don't do that, we're not fulfilling the terms of the new covenant. Our horizontal beam is out of line, and that tells us automatically the vertical beam must be out of line too. Well, I want to suggest to you just two things that are involved in working out these covenant obligations. The first, we need a new attitude. Instead of taking all the terms in I want, I need, I'm right with God, I pray, God blesses me, we've got to substitute for the I, the we. We want, we need, we pray, God blesses us, God helps us.
There's more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
There are invisible spiritual powers in heavenly places. Hierarchies of angels are engaged in war on a scale that most Christians cannot imagine. And you are being drawn into the action. Why? Because as a follower of Jesus, you can play a key role in determining the outcome. The question is, are you ready to take your place in God's plan for the finale of the ages? In his new book, Rules of Engagement, Derek Prince offers the guidance you need to take your place in this monumental conflict. With it, you'll discover how to develop the character of a warrior and become more and more like Jesus Christ, your commanding officer. You'll gain confidence and learn what you need to know to complete the mission. To order your copy for only $12.95, call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Order Rules of Engagement and conquer the trials you face now and prepare for victory in the greater battles to come. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Great to have you with us on this Thursday. We're hearing about how relationship with God brings us into relationship with God's people and how we can walk that out. Man, if there's anything needed in the church today, that's it. Let's listen as we hear about relationship with God's people.
It's very significant that the pattern prayer that Jesus taught his disciples begins with the word our, not my. Our Father. The first thing that we need to remember in prayer is that we are not individuals just on our own without obligations to our fellow believers. If we could understand what's involved in those two simple words, "Our Father," in many cases it would make a tremendous difference in our whole attitude and outlook as believers. Secondly, we need a new lifestyle. If you think over that list of obligations that I read out to you just now, I think you'll agree that many of them cannot be worked out in a church building or in a church setting. It's not easy to wash one another's feet. It's not easy to serve one another. It's not easy to be in subjection to one another. Essentially, in a religious setting, the kind of situation that we're used to in a church, what we do mainly is look at the back of the neck of the person in front of us and gaze up at a preacher behind a pulpit. That creates a certain kind of result, but it gives no opportunity for the fulfilling of many of these obligations. So the truth of the matter is that we've got to get into a new kind of lifestyle, a lifestyle where our obligations are worked out in daily living outside a religious setting. We need more time together in a non-religious setting. Otherwise, we really cannot live up to our obligations to one another and thus our obligations to Jesus. We have seen that the scriptural basis for every enduring personal relationship is a covenant. On the vertical plane, with God Himself. On the horizontal plane, with God's people. Those who enter into covenant with one another are thereby required to lay down their own lives and then to find a new life in living for those with whom they are in covenant. Entering into covenant with others in this way brings us into a distinctive new lifestyle. In New Testament Greek, there is a special word used to describe this new lifestyle. It is koinonia. In most English versions, this Greek word is translated fellowship. One or two versions translate it not by a single word, but by a phrase, such as sharing in a common life. Actually, the Greek noun koinonia is derived from an adjective koinos, a very common adjective, which means common. Simply and literally, koinonia means having things in common. Today I'm going to show you the kind of lifestyle that koinonia describes. I'm going to turn first of all to the first epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 3, where John says this, "What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship, koinonia, with us. And indeed our fellowship, koinonia, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." When John says what we have seen and heard, in the context, what he's really saying is, the record that we apostles have left with you, the New Testament record, that's what he's speaking about. And so we have a very important statement here. We have the end purpose for which God made available to us the New Testament record, the testimony of the apostles. What was God's ultimate purpose in making this record, in making the New Testament itself available to us? The answer is that you also may have fellowship, koinonia, with us, that's with the apostles. And then he goes on to say, and indeed our fellowship, our koinonia, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So I believe it's correct to say that ultimately the gospel is an invitation from the Godhead to share the fellowship, the koinonia, the lifestyle of the Godhead. So important to see that this is what God really desires. Because in religious activities, many times we get so taken up with means that we lose sight of the ends. But means that do not achieve the desired ends are just a waste of time and effort. Let me picture you some things that Jesus said about his relationship with the Father, bearing in mind that all this is koinonia. In John 10:30, Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." In other words, there's unity or union. Then, speaking about the coming of the Holy Spirit in John 16, verses 14 and 15, he said, "He, the Holy Spirit, shall take of mine and disclose it to you. But then he went on to say quickly, all things that the Father has are mine. And then again, in John 17 and verse 10, Jesus is praying to the Father, and he says, all things that are mine are thine, and thine are mine. That's perfect koinonia, perfect having in common. Everything I have is yours, and everything you have is mine. That's the divine level of koinonia. That's the lifestyle of the Godhead. A little further on in the same first chapter of the first epistle of John, John returns again to this theme of koinonia. In fact, koinonia is one of the main themes of this epistle of John. In verse 7 he says, but if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, that's as Christ is in the light, and notice that's the standard of koinonia, it's always God's standard, not man's. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship, koinonia, with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It's important to see that at the beginning of that verse, we have that little word, if. If sets a condition. If we do something, then certain results follow. What is the if? It's if we walk in the light, then two results follow. First of all, we have fellowship, koinonia, with one another. Secondly, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. I want to point out to you that the cleansing of the blood of Jesus is not under our control. It's only available when we meet the condition. What is the condition? Walking in the light.
I want to know Jesus Christ, but have shared experience with a body of believers, with a group of close Christian friends with whom I can walk in the light and walk in the power of Jesus in a common experience. Man, let's have that. Let's pray for that. Let's take hold of that in our lives. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
There are invisible spiritual powers in heavenly places. Hierarchies of angels are engaged in war on a scale that most Christians cannot imagine. And you are being drawn into the action. Why? Because as a follower of Jesus, you can play a key role in determining the outcome. The question is, are you ready to take your place in God's plan for the finale of the ages? In his new book, Rules of Engagement, Derek Prince offers the guidance you need to take your place in this monumental conflict. With it, you'll discover how to develop the character of a warrior and become more and more like Jesus Christ, your commanding officer. You'll gain confidence and learn what you need to know to complete the mission. To order your copy for only $12.95, call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Order Rules of Engagement and conquer the trials you face now and prepare for victory in the greater battles to come. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Great to have you with us. Let's listen now as Derek teaches us more on relationship with God.
If we walk in the light, two results follow. We have fellowship, koinonia, with one another, and we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. This applies the other way around. If we are not walking in the light, we do not have koinonia, we are not being cleansed by the blood of Jesus. So an essential condition for receiving the continual ongoing cleansing of the blood of Jesus is walking in the light. And if we're walking in the light, we have koinonia with one another. If we are not having koinonia, if we're out of fellowship, then we're out of the light. And if we're out of the light, we're no longer being cleansed by the blood of Jesus. So you see how central and essential this fact of koinonia is. All right then, what are the conditions for koinonia? I want to suggest to you there are two. The first is covenant commitment. Only those who are willing to make the commitment of a covenant to one another can be in koinonia. Covenant, commitment, is the door to koinonia. There's no other way to get in. That's the initial requirement. And then there's an ongoing requirement for koinonia. The ongoing requirement is walking in the light. What's meant by walking in the light? Gang, I want to suggest to you it covers two things. First of all, obedience to God. Disobedience is darkness. The moment we step out of obedience, we step out of the light into darkness. The moment we infringe divine law, we're no longer in the light. But the second aspect of walking in the light is that we have to be completely open and honest with one another. No secrets, no reservations, no criticisms or evil thoughts in our hearts or minds, but complete openness and honesty with one another. Koinonia is only possible as we walk in the light. Look at this statement about the early church in Acts chapter 4. I want you to see the connection. Verse 32, "Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common." What's that, having all things common? It's koinonia. The very word koinonia comes from the Greek word common. What was the result? Look on to verse 34. "Neither was there any among them that lacked." You see, God's blessings are on his people when we're in koinonia. Then we have all we need and more. But out of koinonia is out of the light. Out of the light, no longer being cleansed by the blood of Jesus. This is one of the divine ultimatums. God invites us to koinonia, but he sets the conditions.
You know, there's a core truth that Derek has been developing in this teaching that I want to be sure to highlight here as we bring this to an end and then head into tomorrow, which will be the end of our series, and that is the idea of walking in the light. That's sort of religious-y language that we tend to use, but do we really know what it means? What does it mean to walk in the light? Let me put some other words to it. It means to walk in an absolutely blaring honesty. It means to walk in a transparency that allows everything in our lives to be seen and known. You know, nothing builds intimacy with another human being quite like opening our hearts a little bit and allowing them to see who we really are, walking in that kind of transparency. If a husband and wife are really going to know each other, they have to open their hearts, open their lives, discuss the good sides of themselves, the bad sides. I'll tell you what, for a man to go home to his wife and be really transparent, that draws out a love and a tenderness that is just not found any other way. And that really is the key, not only to walking in relationship with God, but to walking in relationship with others. That we're not constantly trying to build walls to impress people or paint images that are somehow designed to cause them to think that we're more than we are, but to just simply be who we really are and allow that to be seen by God and others. Of course, God sees it anyway, but you know what I mean, that we walk in the light in a way that we're constantly holding the truth of who we are before God and others. I'll tell you another thing, too. It's liberating. You stop carrying the burden of trying to appear more than you really are. There's a rest, there's an intimacy, and there's a peace there that we need to know. Listen, it's so good to have you with us. Log on the website, derekprince.org, and learn more about these truths and listen to these teachings over and again to embed them in your soul. That's all the time we have for now. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
We are so very glad that you could be with us today for Derek Prince Legacy Radio. To order a copy of Derek's newest book, Rules of Engagement, for $12.95, give us a call toll-free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Our numbers again, 800-448-3261, 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.